Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course at thekickasslife.com.
Looking out of my hotel room, it's 6 o'clock in the morning here. That's why I've got that kind of little bedroom voice on. Hello, how are you? Anyway, just looking out across the mountains here in Phoenix, and it's that sort of really, really soft sun. It hasn't really come up yet, but it's a crazy week in temperature here. It's like, I think the high is going to be 116, which is hot, really hot. Anyway, my guest this week is somebody I really have a bit of a love affair with. Nah, a huge love affair with. I got to travel with this guy through Australia. And I'll tell you a story in a second. But before I tell you a story, I want to tell you why I have him on the show. Or something that happened to me. A lot of you may not know this. But, you know, I grew up in England and left school 15. Could hardly read and write, you know. Then I backpacked around the world for 10 and a half years. I'm scooting through this because I really want to get to the point. Because when I arrived in Canada, I slept on a roof the first night, and because I had this deal, right, with myself, was I wouldn't spend any money until I had somewhere to live and I had work. And my first job in Canada was cleaning hotel rooms at a place called the Admiral Motel, and now it's called the Admiral Hotel, in Victoria, British Columbia. And I think Gene and Alan still own the place, but anyway, I cleaned rooms, and I gotta tell you, some people are disgusting. And then my job in the afternoon, I worked at Barb's Fish and Chips, which is still there. It's a fish and chip shop, the most famous fish and chip shop in British Columbia, I believe, but really, really amazing. Barb was just an incredible woman. And you know, so here I am, sort of in a new country. I was no really idea that I was going to live in Canada. And I've been backpacking for 10 and a half years. So, you know, I didn't have a lot of money. I had saved some money when I was down in the United States. I worked for a driveway company delivering cars all over the United States. It was a really great gig. And my owner's Murray, he was a great guy. And because I would not run up these huge bills with public transportation, I'd hitchhike to different places to pick up cars. You know, he let me take cars up into the mountains, or he'd say, look, you know, I've got to deliver a car from Boston to Portland, Oregon. And normally, you know, you've got a 3-day trip. He'd say, okay, you know, take a week. And so sometimes I'd be out driving around the United States in a BMW convertible and looking at and traveling through and experiencing the United States. So I had a really great time. So I'd saved a little bit of money, but, you know, when I was in Canada, I started to fall in love. I fell in love with the country, and I had never really no plan. I'll tell you that story another time. It's a great story of how I ended up in Canada, but I never planned to be there. I just, you know, the very short elevator version was I was hitchhiking, and we ended up going the wrong way, and I tripped over Canada. But it's a great story. I'll tell you another time. But what's really important about this story and why this guest is on is here I am in a new country, credit rating, no CV, curriculum vitae. I didn't even know what that was. You know, I've been backpacking for 10 and a half years, you know, and in America, North America, those things seem to be quite important. So I was working as a waiter, $4 an hour, at Big White Ski Resort in Kelowna, British Columbia. And I saw a video, and the guy I've got coming on, he's going to talk about a similar thing where he watched a video. And I know his story really, really well. But what's remarkable is I read a book. I read a book called Think and Grow Rich. And the gentleman, I'm my guest, he's just awesome. He read the same book, and it kind of changed his life. He'd been a butcher for 40 years. And it's interesting is that he went from being a butcher for 40 years, where his you know, when you retire, you get a tax income statement from the government to show all how much money you've earned and paid taxes on. And he paid taxes on $400,000. And today, he makes, well, in excess of $200,000 a month in a chosen profession. But he didn't find that profession till after he retired as a butcher. He hurt his back, retired as a butcher. But you've got to listen to this story. So he's gone on, and him and his two daughters have gone on to make almost $30 million. $30 million in their family. This is a guy who made $400,000 his whole life. And why this is important to me, why his story is important to me, is because it was this industry, which I'm very passionate about. It's an industry that changed my life. If it wasn't for this industry, I'd probably still be working as a waiter somewhere, or, you know, I wouldn't have created the great financial success I have in my life if I hadn't have tripped over this industry. And I tripped over it having traveled around the world. I watched a video, and it was like, I watched it like 7, 8, 9 times. I thought, is this possible? Is it really possible for an average guy to make, or an ordinary guy to make an extraordinary income? Is it really possible to get paid on building a network? Is that really possible? Anyway, I didn't understand it. And there were people, you know, using terms like pyramid scheme and all these kinds of things. And what I found out over, I studied it. And what I found out was the people that say that, they simply just don't know. They haven't studied it enough. And today what's interesting is because, you know, you've got Donald Trump, you've got Warren Buffett, you've got all the greats, Robert Kiyosaki, you can go to Paul Zane Pilsner. You've got these amazing world-renowned financial experts who all say that the industry is really one of the best options that ordinary people have to create extraordinary success. But as I got to know the industry more and more and more, stories like Jimmy's, the my guest, become more and more common. But and what I realized was it wasn't just the amount of money. There's a great saying, and you want to write this down. And again, whether you're interested in the industry or not, it doesn't matter. The lessons within this particular person's heart, what he's learned, a guy who's now in his 80s, who makes more in a month than the president of the United States earns, or he paid more in taxes last year than the president of the United States earns, and he's just the most beautiful human being I've ever met. This guy, you talk about exemplifying a kick-ass life. This guy leads a kick-ass life. He has, you know, I mean, he has so many children and grandchildren and great, I think he has 13 great-grandchildren. Anyway, so I want you to listen in. I want you to listen in for those cues, because if you haven't found real happiness in your life, and if you haven't been able to find the ability to create financial success, then listen to what he's going to share with you, because again, that's what changed my life. It completely changed my life, and it started a love affair with the industry of network marketing. That I later on in my life, I became a president CEO of a network marketing company, because I've never seen a vehicle that transforms more lives. Because when you have a community of people who come together with a joint vision, and then you have this constant accountability, and then you have this ability that the more you grow yourself, the more you expand yourself, the more money that you end up making. The more people you help, the more money you end up making. So there's a great saying that I live by, which is, my wealth can only grow to the extent I'm willing to grow myself. And this gentleman, Jimmy Smith, Jimmy the Butcher Smith, they call him, he's a legend. He's a legend for many things. I'm obviously how much he earns. Yeah, a legend to be able to, I mean, really set himself up and his whole family. And this is his story. I mean, he went through bankruptcy. He struggled trying to find his right company. I mean, it's a wonderful story, but victorious. Now, every generation of his family, when they the next generations come along, no one's ever going to have to worry about money, because he's been able to set up a legacy through understanding, and it really started, and that's where you're going to start. One of some of my early questions with him will be around how he got started. And, you know, it's about him understanding something that most of us, we push aside. I did. I believed what people told me. I believed if someone says, oh, it's a pyramid, you know. And then I forgot to ask the question, the person who's talking to me, are they broke or are they rich? Are they happy or are they unhappy? And what I found was that most of the time, I was taking my advice from broke, unhappy people. People who didn't understand. People who sort of, maybe they tried it once and they stuck their toe in for a little bit and it didn't work for them. So now for the rest of their life, they go out beating their chest and saying, hey, it doesn't work. And what I realized was it works. It works for the people that understand it, that work it, that decide that they are going to become a master in that arena. And it doesn't take long, you know, 3 to 5 years. You know, for some people, if they're working really, really part-time, 5 to 7 years. And this is what excites me. What excites me, and a lot of the students I work with today, I've watched their transition, not just financially. I've watched their emotional transition. I've watched their physical transition. But I've watched their financial transition. And I've watched as they've expanded and invested more and more into themselves. And they've stopped hanging around with broke, unhappy people, taking advice from broke, unhappy people, that these people have gone on to create great financial success, but then become truly, truly happy before, while they're growing their business, that they've sort of transformed themselves inside out, that they really, truly grow into the person they've always dreamed of being, and authentically as well, which is what I love. So let's listen in as Jimmy the Butcher Smith shares his stories, a man who's now in his 80s, who still works as passionately as he did when he started out, which is not that many years ago. Remember, he was a butcher for 40 years and was able to become a legend and create not just financial success for his own family, but really for millions of people that he's touched. He, directly and indirectly, he has really changed millions of lives. And that's what I love. Having spent so much time with him, and he's been in my home, we traveled through Australia together over a month. And so we're doing, you know, traveling with an 82-year-old man. He's exactly the same age as my dad. And so he was, I think, 82 when we traveled through Australia, watching him with people, watching how he reaches out, watching how open-hearted he is, how kind he is. And, you know, one of the big secrets, and I'm probably going to ask him this question anyway, is he carries some positive affirmations in his top pocket of his jacket. And he reads them every single day. He realizes that he manages his mind. So when we start talking about a kick-ass life, it can start any day. But obviously for a lot of people, the financial part is finding the right vehicle. And with 72% of new businesses failing within the first 5 years, that's a hard road. And with almost 80% of people dissatisfied or unhappy in their jobs, that's a hard road, finding a job and creating financial success through a job. So there has to be a better way. This is the way I believe in. This is the way that I've seen work. This is the way it worked for me. It changed my life financially. It changed who I became. It changed my whole mindset, everything. So listen in, buckle up, listen in. And if you have to listen to this one twice, if you're not earning as much money in your family as you think you should be, or that you need to create the life of your dreams to create a kick-ass life, then I urge you to listen to this 2 or 3 times. I urge you, because there's some secrets in here that really transformed my own life. And in so being, maybe this is a moment that will transform yours. But more importantly, you got to listen to this guy's story, because it is compelling, it's heartwarming, and it is so inspirational. So I want you to listen in as I have a little chat with Jimmy the Butcher Smith.
So, Jimmy, you know, you and I were chatting, and you shared some things with me, which I find really, really fascinating, that you didn't find the industry of network marketing until you were 62 years of age, and you really stumbled and fell, and a lot of things didn't go well for you in the beginning, you know, and there were times where you wanted to quit, and all the way up to 67, there was that kind of 5 years. And I know this was quite a while ago, and we're talking about, you know, a number of years ago, a couple of decades ago now, and the industry's changed. But if you can take us back to that beginning, you know, you're 62, and you, something happened. Tell us about what you were doing at the time and what you'd been doing, and then how you found this industry, and then talk us through a little bit of those 5 years. And I may interrupt a couple of times just to ask a couple more questions, but because I'm really fascinated by this story. But why don't you share with us your, take us back to that time.
When I first started the network marketing?
Yeah, when you're 62, just what you were doing before, and how did you find it, and then, you know, tell us the story of those first 5 years.
Okay, well, all my life, since I was a young man, I wanted to have my own business, always. And then, you know, I never did get my own business. I worked for a large chain as a butcher. And then when I got married and started having children, I wanted to have a family business. And it was like a burning desire my whole life to have a business and now a family business where all my children could be involved with me. And I could have had a McDonald's franchise in the late 50s for $3,500, but it would have required me to borrow $10,000 on my house. And I had little children, and I had a good job and benefits. So because of benefits and a steady income, and I had the responsibility to raise the children, I was afraid to take a chance and get a McDonald's franchise and relocate to another city and not know where I'm going, where I would raise my kids at. So I just declined. I didn't do it, although I wanted to do it. And then finally, when I was forced to retire from the only way I knew to make a living, because I hurt my back so bad, I laid in the hospital for 14 days and couldn't walk. And my company told me, their doctors told me if I continued to do that job, I could end up in a wheelchair. So they gave me my full pension in 1983. I was 56. And they said, go find a new career. So for the next six years, I looked around. I looked at real estate. I looked at many, many different things. And in 1989, I was 62, and a friend of mine called me up, a friend that I had done some special favors for. I helped him out when he was in need, and he called me up. He said, I want to pay you back. I want to take you to an opportunity meeting. I said, for what? He said, just trust me. Come with me. So I went with him, and sure enough, it was network marketing. It was my first real exposure to network marketing. And the company was a water filter company, and they sold water filters. And so I didn't know. But probably the best thing that person did was give me a video called the Dine Failure Napkin Presentation. And on that video,
just repeat that again. What was it called?
Dine Failure, F-A-L-I-A, Dine Failure.
Okay.
Napkin Presentation. And Sound Concept sells it all the time. They have it on there. I often recommend people to buy it. But I took that video home. It was a long play video. It was back in 1989. And it was an hour and 45 minutes. It was very long. And I watched it over and over and over again. I was totally, absolutely fascinated by the geometric progression numbers, which I'd never been exposed to before. Nobody ever showed me that. The duplication concept of power, too. The power of duplication. And so that's what really got my interest from the beginning. So before I ever knew what network marketing really was about, I knew the mathematics. I knew about the geometric progression of numbers, and that fascinated me. And once I knew that, I knew intuitively someday I was going to be successful because I understood the numbers, how it worked. And so I went on a search. It was 1989. I went on a search, looking for what I would consider the perfect company for me. And it took me 14 years to find the perfect company, but I didn't stop looking. And I did many, many different companies.
Can I just take you back for a minute, Jimmy? I just want to go back for it. So you're 62. You've got this realization of this geometric growth, and you can kind of see the numbers. You can kind of make sense of, you know, if you do certain things and you become good at them, and you're able to understand the compounding effect of building a network, you understood that there was something here that, you know, obviously for a guy that had been a butcher for 40 years, making a total of $400,000, which is about $10,000 a year, you're obviously seeing that there is something here that you've never seen before. But what was it like? You sign up, and you don't really know how to be in network. What are some of the early mistakes, and what were some of the challenges that you went through in those early days, you know, before Jimmy the Butcher became a legend, you know, and became, you know, $30 million your family's earned in this last company you're with. Give us an idea of what was it like in the beginning when it was hard, and what were you struggling with, and how did you overcome some of these hurdles?
Well, the biggest thing with me is the biggest problem I had was I understood the numbers so clearly in my head. It was like when I went to bed at night, the numbers were rolling around in my head. When I got up in the morning, the numbers were so embedded in my brain, and I believe and I understand. Not that I'm a great mathematician. Mathematics is an exact science. You can't cheat. 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 2 is 8. It's always been that way. It'll always be that way. And so when I had this numbers down in my head, and I would talk to people and try to explain to people what I understood by showing them the numbers, it was very frustrating for me that everybody just didn't see what I seen. I was always trying to figure out how I could make it clear for people to see it. And most of the people that I got involved with in network marketing, they never even talked about the numbers. They just talked about the product and getting the product and using the product. And nobody really ever explained. Like, I was approached for years and years when I was a butcher. People tried to get me back. Way back when they used to try to get me in Amway, try to get me in Shaqley, and I've heard of those companies, Herbalife. I think I did. I joined Herbalife in the early '80s, but nobody ever explained to me how it worked, how the system worked, how you got paid. You know, they just wanted you to use. I just thought they wanted me to buy the product so they could make money on me. And I said, well, I'll buy the product if you're going to make some money and I like the product, I'll buy the product. I never realized before I learned numbers, before I seen that video, I never understood how Amway worked, how Shaqley worked, how Mary Kay worked, all the Avon, all them direct sales companies that have been around for years and are doing $1 billion a year in business.
Jimmy, this is interesting because maybe I misunderstood you. You're saying that you were kind of stumbling around the industry. I don't know how long, maybe you can share how long before you realized the geometric growth. What was the time frame from you starting at 62 to you starting to become more successful at 67? What was when did you start learning about the numbers? Was it later on in that time?
Yeah, I became very interested in comp plans and different products. And one of the first things I realized that the first company I went to, the first meeting I went to, was water fillers. And you buy a water filler for $179, and it would sit on your counter for 3 years. And I thought, well, wow, you know, where's the residual income if you don't have to buy another water filler for 3 years? You know, it's kind of, there's not much residual there. I caught on to a lot of things. I could see things I didn't like, but I didn't know why I didn't like them because I really didn't understand the industry as well as I do now. Now I know why I didn't like the things I didn't like, and now I know I was right in not liking the things I didn't like. Not that they were bad, because a lot of people were being successful, but I was looking for simplicity. I was constantly looking for something that was simpler. I believe the first few companies I looked at were too convoluted for the average person. I was looking for something that not just I could do, but the average person could do. Because I'm not saying I'm above average, but I wanted something where the masses could understand it easy. Would it be easy to explain and easy to demonstrate and easy to do? So I joined an awful lot of companies, and I would learn their comp plan, use their products, and when I seen something that didn't meet my values or principles or the way I was thinking, I was always looking. I was always looking for the next something better.
So do you think then when you were, because you went 5 years, you said, for me, where you didn't make any money. Now, obviously today in the right company, that doesn't happen. I mean, it happens with people who aren't working or don't understand how to work the business. But if you take me back, so 5 years without any money, well, how, what kind of stress was that on your marriage, and your, how was your wife thinking about it? What was your friends doing? You know, I mean, and just, I really want to sort of get the idea of the early struggle for you. You know, like take me back to the beginner's mind, where there were times where I know you've shared with me that you wanted to, you thought about quitting. You thought that you couldn't do it. You kind of looked at yourself and realized that, oh, maybe I can't do this. What did you do? How did you overcome that? And how hard was it? How hard was it to stay in the game?
It was very hard. It was very hard, David, because what happened early on, the very first company I really joined and proceeded to do, I bought $15,000 worth of water filters from a company that, out of Montreal, Canada, and I was going to be the first national marketing director in the United States for that company. I didn't understand the company. I didn't know what I was doing, but I had this big kickoff. I bought $15,000 worth of water filters. The president and one of the owners come down from Montreal. I did a big meeting. I sent out invitations. I had hors d'oeuvres, coffee, tea, soda. I had $15,000 worth of water filters on display. It was a big, for me, it was a big thing. I was.
That's 22 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's like.
So 15, yeah, 15,000 was, I mean, it's a lot of money today, but it's a lot more money then, right?
Oh my God, it was huge. It was on, I did it on credit cards too. I had to use three different credit cards because I didn't have no money. I was retired. I was on pension. And that company went out of business 6 months later. My first big check for $3,000 bounced. I couldn't cash it. Well, needless to say, my friends, my family, my kids, and my wife thought, wow, what the heck gotten into Jimmy here? He, you know, had this big splash. I signed up all these people, and then the next thing, you know, the company's out of business. And my wife said to me, how can you be excited about a company just, or an industry that just took $15,000 from us? We just wasted $15,000. I said, well, I can give Christmas presents every year. I'll give everybody a water filter at Christmas. That's what I did. I used to give out a Christmas. I gave everybody a water filter. But if I didn't understand the math, and I said to my wife, I said, my dear, $15,000 is nothing. I'm gonna make that 1,000 times. I'm gonna make that back 1,000 times. My wife really thought I had lost it, and really my family, my friends, they didn't want anything to do with my next deal, of course. But I didn't quit, and I knew.
Oh, hold on. You actually went bankrupt in 1993, I remember, right? And that
I
was like 3 years
in.
So you joined the industry in 62 when you were 62, and about age 65, you filed for bankruptcy. Is that right?
Yeah, so in 89, in 93, like 4 years later, yeah, I went bankrupt in 1993. And it was just for, I was using my, I used credit. I had my pension was paying all my bills. My credit was, right before that bankruptcy, my credit was just perfect. But what I did, I leased the, because of what I was doing, my wife was afraid that we were going to lose our house or something. So she took her Social Security, her pension check. She started putting it into a separate account. And I had just leased the Mercedes-Benz for $665 a month, and that kind of put me over the top because I couldn't afford it. And then next thing you know, I went bankrupt just on credit cards. I was using the new network market. I didn't lose my car. I didn't lose my house. I didn't lose anything. The only thing I wiped out on the bankruptcy was credit cards I had been using to work my business. And so in 93, I went bankrupt. But it didn't disturb me. It didn't slow me down one little bit.
Well, actually, there's a funny story, though, Jimmy. When you were in the bankruptcy final proceedings, you were sort of sitting, was it with the lawyer or with the guy that does the bankruptcy with you? And you were with your wife, and didn't you start?
Yeah.
Well, share that story, because I remember the first time you told me, I was laughing so loud.
In those days, early on in network marketing, I prospected every single person I met. Nobody ever got by me without getting prospected. That's just the way I was. And when he finished the bankruptcy and we signed all the papers and everything was fine, and we were relieved, and I told him, I said, sir, I think you're doing it the hard way. I can show you an easier, softer way. You have an awful lot of overhead here. I can show you a business where you won't have this overhead. And and I prospected them. And I said, I'd like to give you a presentation for my business, you know. He said, well, I don't have time now, maybe some other time. And I was dead serious. I mean, I was so serious. And we get outside, my wife said, you are the sickest man on the face of the earth in America. She meant it. She really thought I was sick.
But so here you are. You've gone bankrupt. Your wife thinks you're insane. But you see something in the industry. And one thing we haven't spoken about, which I really wanted to capture in those years, was when you wanted to quit, the times where you wanted to quit. Because, again, I want to sort of reinforce the fact that today, looking back with $30 million earned between you and your family, just in these last few years, this last sort of 9 years, which is a remarkable amount of money. But, you know, and obviously, you know, being able to pay for so much of your grandchildren to go to school and your children and just looking, I mean, really, there's a legacy in the Smith family that is remarkable. But going really, really way, way back when, you know, if someone was listening to this right now and they're brand new and they're thinking of quitting and they're frustrated, they often look at you and they say, well, it's easy for you because they look at people who are successful and they don't realize that every master was once a disaster. Everyone who started out was terrible. And you were, you know, when you started out, you were clumsy and terrible too. Take us back into those moments where you wanted to quit, those moments where there was doubt, those moments where you were just sort of doing it wrong and pushing people away, where you didn't understand the art of networking. You weren't a professional yet. You hadn't treated it like a professional business. Can you take us back and give us a little bit more insight into that time?
Yeah, well, I was so sold on the industry. I loved the industry. It made more sense to me than anything else out there. It made more sense than franchising ever did. Franchising was so hard to get a McDonald's or a Burger King. It costs you so much money, and you have to deal with teenagers. I just knew I wanted to be in business, and I believed I had found the business that suited me. And so when I would get down, and I did get down, there were a lot of times I was ready to quit, walk away. I would read books. I would listen to Think and Grow Rich, The Strangest Secret. I'd read Think and Grow Rich. I'd read Upline Magazine. I kept constantly reading stories of people that were successful. And I think one of the most important things for people that are struggling in this industry is to be able to read stories of successful people and to read stories of how many people in this industry in the beginning struggled. It's a simple business, but it's not easy. It's definitely not easy because you have to put up with so much rejection, deception, apathy, and attrition. That's the four things you have to deal with, and they're all hard to deal with. But if you don't quit, I believe, and I proved it to myself, there was no way I was going to quit. No matter how down I got, my family was down on me. My wife did an intervention. She took me to a psychologist. She took me to a psychiatrist. She really thought I had lost it. My kids thought I had lost it. My friends thought I had lost it. My friends start dodging me when I go to the shopping center. I see a friend and he disappeared. He ducked in a store. He didn't want another presentation. But I was so in love with network marketing. I just felt like it was democracy in its finest form. If it's done correctly, it's people helping people. And I just was determined. Nothing was going to stop me. But if I didn't have Upline Magazine to read, if I didn't have other stories of network marketers. Pay Yourself What You're Worth by Shirley Hutton, the first woman to make $50,000 a month, and Mary Kay. I've read that book over and over again. And any book on network marketing, any book on success, I was reading it. I was listening to CDs and watching videos. And I just saturated my brain.
So you were able to keep that. I mean, you had negativity quite close to you, people who loved you, your family, your wife, who were all telling you you're nuts, and yet you were saturating that out with a constant barrage of great stuff. I know you carry a prayer in your top pocket. I know that you've listened to Think and Grow Rich, I mean, maybe thousands and thousands of times, a CD. The Strangest Secret, like you mentioned, you listen to that as well and you give it out to people. But, you know, there's this idea, though, if I was able to give someone hope who was listening and they said, hey, you know, myself, you know, as I look at it right now, I consider myself to be a professional network marketer. And, you know, but the idea that today's industry is so different. When you started back when you were 62, and what the companies, you know, obviously finding the right company, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but the industry has really emerged. And really, if you were starting out today, Jimmy Smith started out today in the industry in 2012. Obviously, dealing with rejection is one thing. But with the tide has turned on entrepreneurship, on franchise, on big business, on banks. You know, we've seen so much happen in 1998, which is, I'm sorry, 2008, which has really changed the world and the concept of what it is to create freedom in our lives and what it is to create our own sort of economy, to be in charge of that. How different is the industry looking back from where you are today? How different is the industry? No, I know you've made $30 million, but in spite of that, when you're watching new people join the industry today and the journey that they're taking in comparison to the journey you took with what you knew back then, is it vastly different?
Yeah, today it is vastly different. And network marketing has come of age, and network marketing has come of age. The main reason that network marketing has come of age, as I see it, is the computer. The very computer that people thought was going to put them out of jobs can really set them free. When you think about it, when I first got in the industry, you couldn't go to a computer. I didn't even use a computer then. Computers are not that old. And when you think about it, I can go to my computer, no matter where I am, I can bring my laptop with me, and I can go into my computer and see all 600,000 people that are in my organization. I can look and see what they ordered last week. I can see what they earned last week. I can see how many people they sponsored. That in itself has changed this industry. And with the supercomputers, the newest compensation plans that are being introduced today, the first compensation plan was the stair-step breakaway, and they only paid three levels, and they were very, very cumbersome, very convoluted. And then came the uni-levels, and the matrix were a much greater improvement. And now with the latest compensation plan to hit the industry is the binary, and the binary is by far, in my way of thinking, the most lucrative, the most powerful, because of computers and only... The new compensation plans today would be inconceivable, unthinkable without a supercomputer. One supercomputer can take care of a whole company, a million people. It can track their volume, cut their checks. It's just amazing what one computer can do today. And so the industry has, I always say, you can't use yesterday's methods today and expect to be in business tomorrow. And a lot of companies, older companies, have what they call stair-step breakaway compensation plans. They're not bad. They're good. A lot of people have been very successful with them. But here's what I say to those people. It's safe to assume, not that the old way is necessarily wrong, but there may be a better way. There's always a better way. And there's only two things constant in this life, that things will change and you'll die someday. They're constant. Things constantly change, that's for sure. And so you have to change with the times if you want to stay in business in the 21st century. So I believe network marketing has come of age right now. I believe it's the wave of the future, and I believe right now network marketing as an industry is going into momentum. And I believe by the year 2025, network marketing will pass franchising as the number one way to move goods and services to the end consumer.
And that's a long time.
You'll be online or in the breadline. And everybody will be walking around with a cell phone. I believe one day everybody will be walking around with a cell phone, a smartphone, and their business will be in their phone. And everybody walking around will be getting a percentage of something that's being sold in the world. I believe that's the future. That's what I believe.
Well, that's happening now. I mean, we're seeing it with all of the big companies doing reward programs and you know, referral programs. I mean, it's happening everywhere. I mean, I was in Costco. I was in Costco with my buddy Eric Coover, you know, and I got him to buy a card, and because I had a card, I think they gave me $50 because he bought a platinum card. You know, that's crazy to think. I just wandered in there with a guy, and they paid me a referral fee right there on the spot. You know, it was like it was automatic. So that was pretty cool. Jimmy, so to get back to this, a new person starting out, then if we look at the industry and how it's changed, you know, the expectancy of what you went through, the bankruptcy, you know, we talked about that, you know, could that happen in a modern company that's a legitimate company? Could that occur today that someone goes bankrupt? And if so, what would cause that?
It definitely doesn't have to happen. If I were better advised, it wouldn't happen for me. There's an old term in network marketing, front end loading. I didn't know I got into a front end loading company that front end loaded people, because over the years in network marketing, it has a very, very high attrition rate, very, very high attrition rate. People drop out, and tremendous amount of people drop out. And so if you would buy $15,000 or $25,000 for order fills up front, they at least get that. If you got that big sale from everybody when they signed up, if everybody signed up with $25,000 for the water filters and everybody got five people to do the same thing, the numbers get astronomical. And so even though you drop out, you put a big hunk of money into the deal. But today, the modern companies today, the companies starting out today, and most companies today, you can sign up for $39, $49, $29. That's all you're not required to buy any product. And you only buy the product you want to buy for your own consumption, which is much different than the old companies. The old companies wanted to bring you in with a $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 for the product. And bring, if you brought everybody in with a large amount of money, that the company would grow. But today, it's all about duplication. There's more emphasis on duplication today than there is on just getting people to load up with a lot of product and then run around and sell it to their neighbors. Companies used to want you to buy $5,000 worth of product, give you a big discount. Then you had to go around and sell the product to your friends, family, friends, and neighbors to get your money back. And that's not the way it is today. Today, it's entirely different. It's you get paid on your personal consumption. And it's about an awful lot of people all doing a little bit. If everybody spends 100 BV a month and everybody gets five people, and you duplicate and you grow that way. And that creates a better income, a better source of income. It's a more solid check.
Well, but Jimmy, there's something else that's maybe changed as well that maybe you have an insight into, which is the legal aspect of, you know, in those days when you started out, pyramid front-end loading companies, pyramid schemes, you know, there wasn't maybe the legal body of each country hadn't really wrapped his head around what that was yet. And how have they protected the consumer today? I mean, if people say, is it a pyramid scheme, or they still have that old stigma, that old dogma? I mean, is network marketing a pyramid? And if so, then if not, then what is a pyramid and what's not a pyramid?
Well, a pyramid, a Ponzi scheme was a Ponzi scheme, which happened a few years back, was when you would get people to put up money with no product involved. If everybody sent money to other people and got a list of people and everybody sent money, and that's a Ponzi scheme, and it's illegal. As long as product has to be moved, most of the companies today, you don't make any money unless product is moved, and you have to buy the product yourself, and you have to encourage other people to buy the product. And when people buy the product for their own consumption, or just to retail it, buy it wholesale and sell it retail, you get rewarded for the amount of product that is sold in your organization. So if people don't buy product, you don't make money, just like any other business. And you can buy the product wholesale, you can sell it retail, or you can sponsor people in that will use the product or sell the product. And so you build a network of
consumers,
product users, a big network of product users and business builders who want to go out there and get other people to use the product. And to me, it's a masterful, it's ingenious. It's, to me, it's the best way to move product to the end consumer, because the oldest advertising in the world is word of mouth, and it's all about word of mouth. It's all about friends, it's all about associates, family, and it's about an awful lot of people all doing a little bit. And to me, it's democracy in its finest form. And I know when I sponsor somebody into this business, the word sponsor in Webster's Dictionary means take responsibility for their success. So the more I help them be successful, the more I'll be successful. So if my success depends on their success, why in the world would I set them up for failure? I want to set them up for success. And that's exactly what I say to someone. I can set you up for failure. I can set you up for success. My success depends on your success, so why would I set you up for failure? I want to tell you exactly what I did because it worked for me, and I believe it'll work for you.
You know,
are you open to that? Yeah. Are you teachable? Are you coachable?
And that's a big word. Are you open? Are you open? If I was able to show you a way where you could, and obviously you've done this, but there's an interesting part of your story. From age 67 to 74, you made about $1.5 million. So now you've gone bankrupt. You know, you've put 5 years in stumbling around, trying to find the right company, primarily trying to find the right company. And you used a great term. You say, you know, that I had to find a company that had the right values and the right vision that I had. And it took a while to find that company. And you found a company that you were with between the age of 67 and 74, where you did considerably well, thinking, you know, that's a short time frame. And yet, you know, you'd been working 40 years and made $400,000 in 40 years. Now you've gone from 67 to 74 and you've made between $1.5 and $2 million. But then you, from 74 to 84, you go on to make $30 million with you and your two daughters. I wonder, again, you know, how come, what was it? Was it a different type of company? Was it you becoming more professional? Was it the compensation plan structure? What was the difference in you finding this final home? And you know, but you're still doing so well. I mean, $2 million in that many years is still considerable. But give us a little story about that. What happened there?
Well, it was a combination of things. It was a combination of... The number one thing was truth and honesty, which I believe everything has to be based on truth and honesty if it's going to stand the test of time. So it's ironic. 3 companies ago, I got up to $5,000 a month. I found something that didn't meet my values and principles about that company, and I was forced to leave that company. My conscience forced me to leave it. And I get into the last company I was in, and I got up to $5,000 a week. Now, I went from $5,000 a month to $5,000 a week. To my chagrin and my amazement, they did something. At my 8th year, they did something that didn't meet my values and principles. I was upset. I wasn't happy. I lost my heart in that company because of changes they had made that didn't meet my values and principles. And I started to look for another company. And that's when I got my call from my dear friend, Carol Taylor. And then after examining carefully the new company called Isagenics, I made a decision. And at that time I was 74 years of age, making $5,000 a week. But I seen something very, very clearly. I've seen something very, very clearly that was powerful enough to allow me to walk away, to resign, and give my check back to the company, turn my check, say I didn't want it, and leave at 74 and start all over again from scratch.
Now, you're making $20,000 a month at this point, which, you know, for the average North American is, you know, half a year's salary, right?
It's enormous. Most 74-year-old people would just give anything to have that.
Yeah, but your wife's now really on board, waving flags. She doesn't think you're nuts at all at this point, right?
No, when I walked away, goodness, at age 74, when I walked away from $5,000 a week, they were doing interventions. My friends, everybody thought I lost it. Really did. They thought, poor Jimmy, what has gotten into him? What is he doing?
Dementia set in early.
And I was so confident. Because of what I had done, if you don't have something to compare something with, how do you know if you have the best? from what I had done, from what I had learned, and it really puzzled me when I would call people and explain what I had. When they wouldn't do it, I was like so puzzled. I couldn't believe it. I said, what don't you get? What, I just explained something to you, and you're saying no? How could you say no? I seen it, David, I seen it so clear. When I signed up on IceGenics, I was 74, and it was so crystal clear to me. There was no doubt in my mind. There was no doubt in my mind, not one little bit of doubt, that what I was going to do. The only thing I didn't know, how quick I was going to do it. I never dreamt I'd do it as quick as I did, but I knew I was going to do it.
But let me just go back to this, because obviously, you know, we're talking about the industry here as a whole, and I know that you're as passionate as I am about this industry and that, you know, truly believe in the industry. And of course, there's great companies, there's good companies, there's fair companies, and there's astounding companies. And, you know, you're talking about this last 10 years of your life being with a company that you find astounding. If someone's looking for the right type of company, here you are, you walk in, obviously you have some experience now. But you went to work. I mean, you actually went to work and you worked hard at 74. You were putting in the hours. And obviously that shows as you're a number one income earner in a very, very large company. If you could share with me a little bit, if someone's looking, what are the key things? You know, say they're not looking at the company you're with right now, but they're looking. If we wanted to educate them on the industry, what are the things that you need to look for so that they can make the better choice? I mean, you went through many, many companies and stumbling around trying to find it. Finally, after all these years of experience and $30 million, which is, you know, I mean, obviously a lot of people are going to listen to what you got to say because, you know, you've turned, you know, everything you prophesized about the industry came true. And it's including how you feel. I know you very well, and you're incredibly happy. You consider yourself to be the most hugged human being on the planet. But there's still those people out there that don't know what you know. What can we impart for them about what they should be looking for? What are some of the gems that will save them the stumble that you could share with us right now that would really help them understand, you know, the power, what to look for, what to stay away from?
Well, the number one thing, and essentially what I didn't finish, I don't think I finished, but I got up to 5,000 a month, three companies ago, then I got up to 5,000 a week, and in a short time, IceGenics got up to 5,000 a day. I just wanted to make sure that
progression was understood.
From 5,000 a month, 5,000 a week, to 5,000 a day. And that's progress. That's going in the right direction, would you say?
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. And then 15,000 a day as a family. That's even better, right?
Yeah, I know you can't live on that, but it's a good start, right?
It's a very good start. And I really, truly want it for everybody because I believe everybody can have it. If they want, if the desire is strong enough, they can have it. They will have it. And the first 50 people I sponsored into the company, 8 of them are millionaires. That's a really good feeling. That's a really good feeling. And from those 8, there's about 25 more. So that's like 33 millionaires. That's a good feeling. You can sleep at night when you know that people that really pursue it with a passion will have it. They'll have what you have.
Well, Jimmy, let me just...
That makes me very, very happy, yeah, especially
Jimmy, sorry.
Two of them are my daughters.
Yeah,
makes me very happy.
Sorry, interrupt. Jimmy, let me just interrupt on that. I apologize. I didn't want you to miss that. Two of these are your daughters, which is a huge deal. Millionaire is one thing, but how many people are now in your organization? We're 10 years on. How many people are being able to make car payments, able to, you know, save a house, pay a mortgage, you know, replace an income, retire a spouse? So millionaire really is a great end game, and you've helped a lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. But I know that you're driven more about, you know, helping that person who's in struggle, who doesn't know a better way, understand there is a different way. And there's a way, once you understand this concept of leverage, to do that. And you've helped a lot of people. How many people are in your whole team now?
Well, the whole team is in the neighborhood of 600,000 people. And so many of them are making 500 a week, 1,000 a week, 1,500 a week, 2,000 a week. And on their way, because most of them are, I would say, will never, ever quit. They're lifers, and they will be millionaires. And I constantly tell them the only way you can fail is to quit. And if you continue to do what you're doing and never, never quit and never, never stop taking the products, you will be financially independent and you will one day be a millionaire. And I believe that with all my heart and soul, because I can't blow smoke. I can't. And what do you look for? You look for a company that's based on truth and honesty. You look for a company that has products that really work, that do what they say they're going to do, not smoke and mirrors. You look for people that are running the company that understand network marketing as clearly as you do, or more clearly, that really care about the distributors, the associates, really care about them, really truly want them to be successful, are excited, just as excited for the people that become millionaires as the people that become millionaires. And well, like I always say, to get rich by enriching other people is a good thing. To try to get rich by deluding other people, you only end up deluding yourself. And that's what happens in so many companies. So many companies out there, they get a comp plan and then they get a product to go with it. You have to find a company that has a great product that really, really works. And then they find a way to get it to the end consumer so that everybody will benefit. So I don't want to be part of anything where all parties don't benefit. And I know here, when I look in the mirror and when I lay my head on the pillow at night, I know that I haven't gotten over on one person ever, that I'm helping people to improve their lifestyle. I'm helping people and teaching people, like Robert Kiyosaki says, we're in the intellectual distribution business. We're teaching people about a product that'll change the quality of their health, and we're teaching people about a business plan that can set them free. That's a good thing.
That's a great
thing. That's why it makes me very happy. I know that I can trust the people that are running this company that I'm in. I know that they have integrity. I know that their life is built on truth and honesty. And I know that they want us to succeed. That's very, very important.
So, Jimmy,
and they want this company to be around for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, and that's very, very important for me.
So, Jimmy,
it took me 14 years to find the right company, but I never stopped looking.
Sure.
I never stopped looking. And
I want to ask another question about this industry, and I want to clarify a number you just gave out just to make sure that we're on the same page with that. But the industry, you know, when we look at this looking for the right company, one of the big indicators, I know Paul Zane Pilzer, who's a great economist, worked with two U.S. presidents, written some amazing books, and really understands this sort of what's coming as far as the next millionaire creation. But, you know, this whole idea about a growth in the home market. When someone's looking at a company and they look at their domestic market, the market they started in, that the growth in that market continues to grow. Because there's a lot of companies who have great numbers and the numbers look amazing. They'll say, you know, they're doing $4 billion a year in sales or more. But when you look at the home market where they started, it's actually either completely decreased and all of their new sales are happening in foreign markets. How important and what creates that? What creates a company? I know that's with the same with your company right now. What's a company where you know they do have that continuation growth in the home market, and why does that happen? Why will that happen with very few companies?
And that's a very, very good point. And because most of your big, huge companies, 70, 80, 90% of their sales is overseas, Southeast Asia, and foreign market. And I think you have to have a product. You have to have a product that people will buy whether they do the business or not. You have to have a product that addresses a situation in someone's life. The company I'm in today has a product that addresses a solution to a lot of problems. Like weight loss is a huge, huge problem in the world today, worldwide, 1 billion people overweight. And I'm in a company that addresses that problem. That's very important. It's very important to do things to take care of the market at home. I'm in a company I believe will always do the majority of their business in America, North America and South America. I believe that with all my heart. Will we be in foreign markets? Absolutely. But when you're in a country which is one of the largest, probably the largest economy in the world, you should always do a substantial amount of your business in that country. And if you have a product that addresses problems that those people are having, that there's a reason to take the product. There's a definite reason to have better health and to create wealth. And I believe the company I'm in is doing everything they can to keep people active, to change with the times, to improve the quality of their products constantly, to expand their market, new products, anti-aging products. You must address and you must have a product that people need.
Well, you know, Jimmy,
how to win friends and influence people.
Yeah, Jimmy, when we look at megatrends, which is really what you're talking about right now, you talk about the weight loss industry, you talk about the anti-aging industry. I mean, you're 84 now, or almost 84.
I am 84. I'm going on 85.
All right, so 84 now. So obviously anti-aging, yeah, and the baby boom generation. I'm on the tail end of the baby boomers. I was born in 61. I think the baby boomers, you know, the tail end is 63. So, you know, we're concerned with living well, living healthy, living, you know, having vibrant lives, living with freedom. You know, that old adage of my parents where work hard, you know, 40 hours a week for 40 years, that's sort of gone. And the third trend is this financial trend. I know coming from training a lot of in the financial realm, and I've trained hundreds of thousands of people about money. Would you say they're the three mega trends then, weight loss and wellness and the anti-aging and then sort of the financial realm? Are these the three big ones?
Absolutely. They are the three big ones. And we have all three covered. We have the anti-aging covered, we have the weight loss covered, and we have the financial part covered.
That's
which I like to call the disease of called lack of money.
Lack of money.
It's a disease and it's rampant. And I'll tell you, the later books I've read, like Paul Zane, I've been a student of Paul Zane Pilsner's for a long time. And I've been reading his books and everything he says, everything he's predicted has come true. And also Robert Kiyosaki. And when you have people like Paul Zane Pilsner and Robert Kiyosaki and people like that endorsing network marketing, that tells you something. When people are writing books about network marketing, it tells you something. Network marketing has come of age. It's here to stay. And you have to, like, arouse in the other person that eager one. He can do that, has the whole world in his hand. He cannot do that, walks a lonely way. That's exactly what we do in my company today. We arouse in the other person a nigger one. Everybody wants to look good. Everybody wants to lose weight, wants their clothes to fit nice, and they want to look nice, lose weight, feel great, have more energy. Everybody, I venture to say that anybody you would talk to, if you ask anybody on this earth, would you like to live longer, every single person would say yes.
Well, you know, what's interesting with that question is a lot of people say, yeah, as long as I can be healthy. So the wellness part, a lot of staying longer and healthy and vibrant, looking after the body. Jimmy, there's a correction I want to just make with you. I asked you how many people were in your personal organization. You said 600,000. Is that a correct figure or was that a mistake? Is it 600,000? I didn't know if your company had that many associates. Or are you talking about product users? Or I just want to be clear with everyone that we don't use any numbers that aren't correct. That's all.
The most beautiful thing about network marketing today, at least the company I'm in, you can go to your computer and see your downline, the people that are in your organization, and you can see what they spend each week and how many people they sponsor, how much they earn. That wasn't available years ago. That's probably one of the biggest things today. And I don't know, there's not too many companies that share that with their distributors, but the company I'm in does. And yes, it's a very accurate figure. I'd like to say they're all active, but that would be really, really cool if they were all active. It would be astronomical. enough of them are, a percentage of them are active.
I got you.
And enough of them are active, to create an awful large volume, probably 3 million a week wholesale volume, and over 2 million a week BV, which as a family, we get 12% of a big part of it, not all of it. So yeah, the numbers are right. It's 600,000 or somewhere around 600,000 people. Not all active, of course. A percentage of them are active.
And that's all I wanted to clarify, just so people didn't say, well, 600,000 active people. I just want to make sure that we're completely factual. Jimmy, you know, as we sort of come toward the end of this call, I want to ask you a couple more questions. You know, the fact that the life you're living today, you know, you've been able to create this $30 million income over the last 10 years with you and your two daughters. You've made millionaires out of your two daughters. Your entire family is involved with you in your business. I mean, in all different ways. But, you know, but you continue to go out there and help people and help a lot of people that aren't even associated with you. I know that, you know, one of you've helped someone create, I know one personal story that you've created, helped create a millionaire, and there's no financial attachment to that. And you continue to do that. What is that? What's that all about? Why is someone who's at your age still so passionate about going out there and doing this and not sitting on a beach somewhere with your feet up? You know, what is that all about? And what do you see? What's the future look like for this industry? Give us a forecast of the future and just tell us a little bit about why you're still so motivated to do this and go and share and be so active at your age, which is obviously a very young 84-year-old.
Thank you, David. Well, the great Gandhi said, every man wants to live, every man wants to love, every man wants to learn, and every man wants to leave a legacy. And I have been so sold on this industry for so long, and I realize today that you can't help someone if they don't ask you for help. You can't help someone if they don't let you help them, and you can't help someone if they don't help themselves. I know that very clearly. And I am so excited when I see someone in our company that gets it, that really sees it. And it doesn't make any difference. I know the law of reciprocity, what goes around comes around. I believe I'm where I'm at because I help so many other people. And as long as I'm in service to other people, I'll be successful. The day I stop being in service to other people, I won't be successful. And you understand that as well as anybody. You're in service all the time. So when I find a young man or a young woman that really gets this and really wants it for their family, if there's anything I can do to help them, I want to be there. I want to help them. I, because of what I've done and because of my philosophy of life, what goes around comes around, the law of reciprocity, you have to give to get. And I've been a giver all my life. Since when I didn't have it, I gave. And so I love to help people, and I love watch people be successful and reach the status of millionaire. And all I want in return, and I say to them all the time, pass it on, pass it on. Pass it down to someone. You help someone like I helped you. That's all I ask. And so we can make this, we can give this industry the credibility it deserves. This is a viable way to make a living. I have proved that to my whole family now. I have proved it to all my friends, all the naysayers now. You know, Jimmy went from being a drudge to a genius in the last 10 years. So I want this message, just like you, and you're an ambassador to this industry. You help people constantly with no ulterior motive. You don't gain financially from helping the people you help. And you help people all over the place. And that's what I learned early on. Help other people. I don't want to look down at another human being unless I'm bending over to pull that person up. And that's where I've lived my life. And I believe I'm where I'm at because of the fact that I give. You know, I give, and you do too. So I love helping people. I always did love helping people. I love when I was a butcher meat manager, I'd get a young apprentice, and he'd serve a three-year apprenticeship with me, but by the time he was done, he could go out and manage a store, and that made me feel really, really good. love to teach. I love to help.
Talking about that, you know, we didn't really touch on that 40 years as a butcher. If you look back over your life and you look back, you know, of the 40 years as a butcher and then these last 22 years in the industry, you know, give me a couple of highlights. What a couple of highlight moments or, you know, as you look back at the legacy that you've created, you know, because obviously you had a legacy in the butcher store. You had a legacy, like you just talked about, is really taking people under your wing and helping them, you know, become better in their lives. You know, obviously you didn't understand network marketing at the time, so that was under the umbrella of a job where, you know, you took them to the top of their profession, the maximum they could earn, which, you know, at your time was about $10,000 a year. But give us a couple of stories to end with as far as, you know, things that you're most proud of as you look back through your life.
Well, I started working for the chain store that I retired from. I started working for that company when I was 14. And I worked during the war. I worked as a part-time clerk on the produce department because they were so sure to help. You know, I could get a job. I just said I was 16 and they hired me. And I worked part-time. And then when I was 16 or 17, I got into the meat department and became apprentice butcher. And so I guess I was 17 when I became apprentice butcher. But I worked with my dad, and my dad, he really taught me. My dad and mom, one thing, I'm very grateful to my parents. I had very strict parents. And they taught me the work ethic. So I knew about hard work. I was not afraid to work hard. I, from age 14 to 56, I hardly lost any time at all. Except for the time I was in the Army. I left to go to the Army a couple of years. But I worked really hard. I knew the work. I had a good work ethic. Meat cutting was a very hard job. I was a very little guy. I was a small guy doing a big man's job. I hurt my back numerous times. I worked in pain a lot. But when I got married and the children started coming, I had six children in rapid succession. Within 10 years, my first 10 years of marriage, I had six children. I love my children. My whole life was dedicated to my children. Raising my children was the most important thing in my life. It's the only thing that really meant anything to me. And I raised them, and I taught them the work ethics. They all were working when they were 16. And my dad, you know, he told me, he used to say, we cannot afford to have one single dissatisfied customer, Jimmy. I can get plenty of butchers, but I can't get customers. The sovereignty, had me read a book, The Sovereignty of the Customer. And the customer is always right, and I believe that. I always believe that. I believe that today, that the customer is always right. And every store I managed, I had a sign up at the window, service window. We cannot afford to have a single dissatisfied customer. And another thing I did, the years I worked as a butcher, meat manager, I made a profit every week, and I was in the top 1, 2, 3 every week out of 50 stores on our territory. My thing was to always be up, make money for the company, do business, have sales up. And I just, that was my whole life. It was like a game. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I didn't know. I was just over broke. I raised six children. We were comfortable. They had everything they needed. They had good food. They had a nice house. They had clothing. They went to private school. And so the proudest thing for me in my life is raising six children and then blessing me with 28 grandchildren and now 12 great-grandchildren. And they're all great parents. They're doing a great job raising their children. They're teaching their children how to raise their – so that's my legacy. That's my legacy is my huge family that ever grow. And there's number – I have 12 great-grandchildren. One's due any minute, any day now. And my granddaughter Katie out in Arizona. And then I just found out that number 14's on the way, you know, a few months down the road. So my family keeps growing. I love them. I'm proud of them. I can help them now. I can be the best pop-up in the world. I can, you know, be the best great pop-up in the world and be there for them for college tuition and different things and cars and whatever they need. That's a good feeling. That's you know, I was happy and I felt successful before I ever had money. And I know that money doesn't make you happy. If you're not happy without it, you won't be happy with it. You know, money, poor people can't help poor people. Rich people can. I believe now, I've been poor and I've been rich. I like this better.
makes life a lot easier.
Yeah.
And you can help a lot of people. I love helping people, and I really do. I love helping my family, my children. I'm so proud of them. They're all doing such a great job raising their children. And I feel that's my legacy that I will leave. And now I have network marketing as a legacy. If I give you a fish, I feed you for a day. If I teach you to fish, I feed you for life. If I teach you how to teach others how to fish, we can feed the whole world. And that's what network marketing is about for me. Let's feed the whole world. Let's show the whole world there's an easier, softer way.
And you know, I take you back to that, you know, that bankruptcy. And when you said that to that guy and looked in his eyes, and, you know, probably he went back to his job and worked hard for the rest of his life. So, you know, Jimmy, I know that time's up right now, but I'm going to get you back and we'll chat again. This has been beautiful. You're just an incredible human being. And I thank you so much. And I look forward to our next chat together.
Yeah, David, I love you, dude. You're awesome. You help so many people, and you're a great asset to this industry and the company you're with. You're a great asset.
All right.
You really are.
I love you, Papa Bear.
All right. I enjoyed it. Look forward to the next one.
Ciao.
Isn't that awesome? You know, you can hear in his heart what a beautifully kind, generous person he is. And so many times, I know people who he's helped. They have no financial link to him at all. None. Zero. Zilch. He gets paid nothing on helping them, but he does. He reaches, he'll fly across the country and go and help people succeed. And that's what I urge you. Whether this is something that inspires you or not, it doesn't matter if this is it. But I urge you to understand the philosophies of surrounding yourself with the right people and discovering a vehicle that you can master, a vehicle that you can apply yourself, give yourself 3 to 5 years. And if needed, 5 to 10 years, because if you keep doing what you're doing and you're not creating your financial success, there's something you don't know. And, you know, I worked with T. Harv Eker from The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind for 3 years. And that's what he said. If you're not getting results in your life, there's simply something you don't know. Well, hopefully you know it from Jimmy. And I'm with Jimmy this week. I'm actually in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm at a conference here. Jack Canfield's coming in, my good friend Jack. John Gray's going to be on stage with us. He's a good friend of mine too. And a new guy that I haven't worked with yet, Paul Zane Pilzer, economist of 2 U.S. presidents. He's going to be here. So, you know, we're going to have an awesome time. Almost 8,000 people coming in for this event. I'm excited. And when I watch people transform their lives, that gets my juices burning. So listen, you have a kick-ass week, and I will speak to you on Thursday. Yay!
That was kick-ass.